I believe this is my last class scheduled with the RCTS in this seminar, Okay, so we want to continue to look into the life of Abraham. As I said, that there are so many things that you could talk about him. He is one of the most important character in the Bible, the patriarch in the book of Genesis, and also so many recording about up and downs in his life for our reference. Yes, he was known as the father of faith. Yes, he was known as the friend of God. But please do remember, he wasn't born in this way. He did not born into the world as the father of faith. It's a long process. There are a lot of up and downs in his life that enables him to be a better person. Okay? So no one is born to be perfect, but through many obstacles, trials, errors, up and downs, slowly a person is built, molded, shaped into a better person, a better him, or a better her. Also, let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. This is where we ended last time. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Verse 10. And here says that, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt and dwelt there, for the famine was severe in the land." Okay? So, in here, as we said earlier, Abraham did not born as a perfect person. There are up and downs in his life. Also, in here, the first thing that we find is that there was a famine in the promised land. The land that promised by God, the land of blessing. However, also the land that encountered famine. So, when there was a famine, Abraham decided to go down to Egypt and he paid a big price for his decision. In the journey of faith, there will be time that you feel that you are in famine, you are starving, you are at the dead end, you feel that there is no way out. You question, you shout and say, "Why? Why am I in so much difficulties? Even though I am a TJC member, I'm a Christian. Where is God? How come God is not helping me?" So you know what? They will. They will. There will be times that you struggle, even when you are in high school, that you are segregated, outcast by your friends because you don't want to be like them. You refuse to do what they do. And when you are rejected by your friend, when you are all alone in the cafeteria and you shout, "Lord, Lord, how come you are not helping me?" And in your future, when you are working for your career, you send out hundreds of resumes, but you do not hear anything back. And you shout, "Lord, Lord, where are you? Where are you?" So you know what? Yes, in your life, in your future, in your career, in your education, there will be time that famine enter into your life. But at this time, you have to make a choice of what you want to do in time of famine, in time of difficulties. For Abraham, at this moment, that he choose an easy way out. He picked the shortcut, which is what? Go to Egypt. Catering into the world. Enter into the land of Egypt, the land of slavery, not yet, but the land of idol worshiping. Okay? Egypt always, in the Bible, Egypt is always the symbol of the world, the lavishness of the world, indulgence of the world, and also idol worshiping. Okay? That's what Egypt is known for. It's a good life, easy life. However, also a sinful life. So Abraham, to avoid dealing with the trouble, facing the consequence, he decided to go down to Egypt, and he almost lost his wife, almost have his family fall apart. There was another person in the Bible recorded, when he encountered famine, he also decided to leave the land of the Lord. Who is that? Any idea? He left the land, the promised land, and then he died. And then his son died. His sons died, yeah. Hanson? Ruth! Ruth's father-in-law, what is his name? It's Ruth. It's in the book of Ruth. It's that guy. Let's take a look, huh? Let's turn to Ruth chapter 1. Okay. So what is his name? Elimelech. Mm-hmm. Elimelech. Oh, Elimelech. Okay, let's turn to Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. And now it came to pass in the day when the judge ruled, and there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. Okay, so now you have this man who lived in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is known as the what? The barn or the storage. The house of the storage, the house of barns, which is the land is always producing many harvest. A beautiful land that always provide many food. But even a land like this, in here says that there was a famine, and the whole family went down to Moab, and all the men died. All the men died. Okay? So sometimes in life, we encounter trouble, obstacles, difficult situations, and there is always an easy way out, which is you compromise. You compromise to the world. That's the easiest way. That's the easiest way. The easiest way is just to give in, give up, back off, withdraw from your principle of life, from your belief in faith. You compromise, you deny yourself, deny your faith. And then, problem solved. You don't have to deal with it anymore. When people challenge your faith, when your friend wants you to be like them, the moment that you give in, the moment that you give up, it's the easiest way out. You just go to Egypt. Simple like that. So that's what happened to Abraham. Okay? So the first thing that we learn in here is that in your life, there will be famine. However, what you do in time of famine determines the elevation or the height of your faith. For Abraham, he picked the easy way. So he almost lost everything. For his son Isaac, there was a time as there was a famine, and he wanted to go to Egypt, but God said no, so he stayed. He stayed, and in day of famine, that he was able to harvest hundredfold out of his field, and he becomes super rich. So you know what? They are easy way out. They are hard way out. But easy way only solve now. How we provide a potential, a great future. As I said that earlier, that in the future when you move away, you're leaving school dormitory, you are living with a stranger, you can take the easy way in the beginning of not saying anything about your faith, not trying to pray in front of your roommates. Okay? That's an easy way. You don't deal with those problems. But in the long run, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, stay in the same room. What are you going to do? Always hide, so afraid to be seen, right? It just make it more and more difficult. But if you decide to pick the hard way, you just, you know, sit down, flip the Bible, and say, this is who I am. This is what I believe. If you don't like, you can always find another roommate somewhere else. Okay, so you set your foot to the ground, and you make everything very clear in the beginning. So the other person has full idea of what to expect. Then, you know, most likely you will realize that God simply just opened the door for you. What you thought could be so scary or so difficult turned out to be so easy if you are willing to be brave enough and take the first step. And then you find that God opened the way. God made, you know, you will learn that all this nervousness, all this fear is that you are scaring yourself. It's all in your mind. You're just making it all difficult, all the scenario, all scary things. But when you decide to go ahead and say, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And then you will realize that it's not as scary. It's not as difficult. Okay? So Abraham picked the easy way and he paid the consequence for it. Life, easy way, might not be the shortest way. Okay? Remember that in your life, easy way is not always the best way. An easy way might not be the shortest way. There was once that Deacon Soga from Florida, from Tampa, come and visit and help out the holy work in here when I was away. Okay? So you know what? Before he came, I told him, you know what? I will leave my car, the church car, and GPS in there. In New York, you cannot always trust GPS because the way that GPS give it to you, the shortcut, the easiest way might not be the best way, especially in New York. So there was one evening, a church member tried to treat him for dinner in Brooklyn, which is only like 8 miles. 8 miles. And then it took him like what? Almost 2 hours. So the member is like, oh, Deacon Zola, where are you? He said, I don't know. Because he was following the GPS. But anyone who grew up and drive in New York knows that the shortest distance might not, and usually is not the best route to take. You know, when I go to Brooklyn for evening service, I don't take local. 8 miles, you are looking at least 1 hour, if you are lucky. So what I do is I take the highway, which is about 35, 37 miles, and make a big circle along the coast. And usually get me to service for 45 minutes, in 45 minutes. So, as I said, the shortcut, the easiest way, the shortest distance might not be the best route to take. That apply for traffic in New York, it apply to your journey of faith as well. So, don't always dodge, avoid, hide, because it's just going to get longer and longer and more difficult, okay? Number two, in here we realize that Abraham was not perfect. He made a mistake. He went to Egypt and he almost lost his wife, okay? Yes. Second thing that we want you to learn in here is that no one is born perfect. Faith takes time to build. Abraham has a lot of up and downs. So, you know, Abraham is not far from you and I. Do not picture Abraham as, wow, perfect guy. Any saints in the Bible, any great worker in the Bible, they always have their period of growth. Moses the same, right? Moses, out of his anger, he jumped and killed a person like that. Paul, why are you surprised? That was recorded in the Bible. You're like, really? Yes. According to the Bible, when he saw an Egyptian bully a Hebrew, he was furious. So he got up and killed the guy. Okay? That's the way he deal with the situation. With his strength, he killed a person. And then he had to run for his life. And then he was in where? In the wilderness for 40 years to be trained. So you know what? Even Moses, Abraham, And many, many workers that we find, there are many up and downs in their life. They make mistakes. They learn from their mistakes. And they improve. So you know what? Do not expect that you are able to be perfect overnight. Because if in the Bible, other than Jesus Christ, if, you know, other than Jesus Christ, everyone else, every workers, they have their up and downs. Peter, one of the greatest apostles, he also got his up and downs, right? You all know how he fell asleep here, fell asleep there, right? How he thought that he was brave enough, but at the end he denied Jesus three times. How he, out of his anger, drew out a sword and cut off people's ear. You know, you find all these weaknesses in human natural and in human instinct. That a person was born like that. So you are no different. I am no different. We have our own weaknesses, and you don't need to be ashamed of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Peter, Paul, they all show their weaknesses. And the Bible recorded honestly. David, he made mistake, right? So there are many characters, even saints in the Bible, they all have their own mistake and weaknesses. But if you look at the overall pattern in their life, it's growing. It's growing. So you know what? When you look at diagram, for those who are going to study economy or doing financial analysis, when you are looking at diagram of a company, if it's a worthy company for investment, you look at their growth, their profit ratio. You look at their diagrams. If you are looking at this kind of diagram, usually it's a very healthy company. Usually. It's very healthy, even though they might be up and down. This is how you analyze stock market as well. This is how you read the chart of a company, or how you read the stock performance. They are always up and down. They are always up and down. And this is healthy. This is actually good. For an investor, this is a great chart. Greatly loved chart. This is a very healthy diagram. Why? Even though they are up and down, but a long time, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, along the course of time, the course of time that you are seeing is actually in a very steady pace, growing up. Okay? For us, this is a great company for investment. What are we afraid the most is big drop. We will stay away from this. Other than venture capital, which is a high risk, other than gamblers, a real rational investor will stay away from a chart like this. Or, 心电图叫什么? Radio, cardiovascular, like, you know, you do the, you put a lot of patch, and then they test like your heart rate and heartbeat. You do this, you are not far from death. Okay? Well, shouldn't say that. This is no good either. You know, the heartbeat just go faster and faster and faster. Yeah. So, so for company, for corporation, for investment, this is what we want to see. For faith, this is also what we want to see. And this is what happened to Abraham, to Moses, to any saints that you find in the Bible, that their faith is always in a growing process. Though that sometimes they might be setback. They might be setback. Okay? Alright, so Abraham, they are up and downs. But slowly, progressively, he is getting higher and higher. This is what we want. I'm not expecting, and none of us are expecting you to be perfect overnight. Right? So like a big city, Rome is not built overnight. A big city takes time to build. A strong faith and good life also takes time to build. Okay? So Abraham takes time for him to go through some obstacles and maybe some failures in life in order to understand limitation of human and learn to rely on God. Same thing with Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter. Peter also experienced defeat, failure, in order for him to understand, I am so weak, I can only rely on God. Okay? So that's the second thing that we learn from the life of Abraham. Number three, another thing that I want you to keep in mind. As we said earlier, Abraham, when he encountered trouble, what did he do? He went down to Egypt. Okay? He went down to Egypt. And this is not the only time. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Verse 2. Now Abraham said to Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Did you realize that Abraham got a big problem? He was a very timid person. He's always afraid that someone will kill him for his wife. Did you realize that? You went down to Egypt and he said to Sarah, you are a good-looking woman. They will kill me for you. So, you know, why don't you just be my sister? And now again. So, first thing that you have to ask yourself, do you really want to marry a beautiful woman? No, that's not the point. You know, he married someone beautiful, and he is always afraid that someone else might kill him and take away his wife. But, you know, at this time, Sarah is like 80-some years old already. So, it's an 80-year-old, super beautiful woman. Okay? That's something that we don't know, and we cannot dwell too much upon that. Yeah, but apparently that you marry someone beautiful, and then you are afraid of it. Of course, that's not Sarah's fault. It's not her fault to be beautiful, though. Okay? It's not her fault. But Abraham, in here, we find that he tend to lie to avoid confrontation. He tend to hide behind his wife for his own protection and safety. That's another thing that we need to learn as a failure of Abraham. You know, in this point that his wife was taken away, if God did not show up and take care of the issue, he will lose Sarah forever. He would. So as we said earlier, going down to Egypt or lie to avoid confrontation is always an easy way, but an unhealthy way. Okay? And you know what? The way that Abraham deal with problem was later adapted by his son, Isaac. So we always say that like father, like son. Isn't it? Like father, like son. We said it earlier, Abraham has a tendency to go down to Egypt to avoid trouble. And then apparently, his son Isaac picked that up after his father. So when Abraham wants to go down to Egypt, Isaac in trouble. Also, the first thing that popped in his mind is what? Learn from my father, go down to Egypt. Go down to Egypt, simple like that. So you know what? When Abraham picking the way to going down to Egypt as a solution, he probably never realized that his son is learning from him. Of course, at this time, Isaac was not born. What we are talking about is a personal style, a way of choice, might very often influence the next generation. Abraham lied to solve the problem. And you find this trait in where? Jacob. Jacob always liked to get himself out of trouble. So you can find this in the style that was from Abraham, that was passing down to the following generation. So that's why we say that, like father, like son, right? In Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Verse 1. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistine. And let's read verse 6. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the man of the place asked about his wife. And he said, "She is my sister." For she was afraid to say, "She is my wife," because he thought, "Lest the man of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold." You know, this is what happens when you marry a beautiful woman. You're always afraid. So Abraham got a beautiful wife, and he always lied that, "Oh, she is my sister." You know, Isaac picked up after his father. He learned from his father the way to solve the problem is what? Lie. Rebecca, a beautiful woman. So what happened to Isaac? "Oh, that's my sister. Lying. Like father, like son. So be very careful. Now you are in high school. You probably don't realize, or you might feel that family or even children is still far from you. But you have to remember, when Abraham lied, at that time Isaac was not born either. Isaac was not born. But apparently that the style has been carried out. The idea of lying to get yourself out of trouble has been passing down. So the way that you build your personality today may be directly influence your descendants, your children. The way that you look at your faith today might become the trait in your family later on. So don't think that family is still far away. Don't think that children is still also far and away. Because the way you do things today might very much be the way that you do things when you grow up, when you encounter trouble. It just come out naturally. And then as your children grow up, they will pick up after you. They will pick up after you. So build up a decent character today will help you to raise a godly family in the future. Okay? Lastly, let's turn back to Genesis. Turn back to Genesis chapter 12. Chapter 12. Verse 17. 17, the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with a great plague because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is this that you have done to me? Why do you not tell me that she is your wife?" Okay? And then continue to read chapter 13. You know what? Hold on 1 second. Let me find a better verse. Where is it? It's okay. You know that chapter 13, verse 2. Verse 1 says that Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with them to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Okay? That's really verse 5. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flock and herds and tent. Now the land was not able to support them. Okay? So, you know what? After they spent time in Egypt, and his wife was taken, apparently, Abraham's wife was taken by Pharaoh, and later Pharaoh realized that was his wife. That was his wife. Okay? So he was, of course, outcast. Pharaoh was angry and sent him away. But the Bible described that when they left Egypt, they came out of Egypt with a lot of wealth, livestock, gold and silver. Okay? So there are two possibilities. One, Abraham stayed in the land of famine, the promised land. He stayed in the land of famine and he suffered. Okay? So that's one route, one possibility. That you stay in the land of famine and you suffer. You lost a lot of possession, you lost wealth, you lost many things. Another option that he took is that he went down to Egypt. And then he returned with many gold and silver and livestock. Okay? So which way seems better? Anyone with sound mind, with rational mind, they always feel, hey, so it's not so bad to go down to Egypt, right? Not so bad. Abraham went down. He returned with gold and silver. Right? He did. He returned with gold and silver. Instead of staying in the land of Canaan and suffer through famines and maybe lost everything. Okay? Really? You know that many times you cannot make judgment based on what you see. You cannot make decision based on what you see because there are many factors that were not involved. As we said earlier, he could have lost his wife. And then this so-called forefather of faith will no longer exist. He will not be recorded as the ancestor of the Israelites because no more Sarah, no more descendants of the Lord. Right? There will not be any promising descendants and let alone the children of God. There will be nothing. There's no Israel if Sarah is taken away. And Abraham allowed that to happen. He could have destroyed his own family. He could have destroyed the promise or the promise that God made. He could because of his own weaknesses. Okay? So, Abraham went down to Egypt. If God was not there to save him at the last moment, he would end up with nothing. But in the contrary, that he was able to leave Egypt with wealth, possessions, silver and gold. However, in chapter 13, you realize that those silver and gold did not do him any good. You might feel, hey, he was able to safely and soundly out of Egypt, even with gold and silver. Really? What happened with the gold and silver and livestock? In here says that because of the gold, silver, and livestock, he has to separate with Lot. They own too much. So possession become a problem in their family life. Lot was always okay until this moment. Lot has been following him all this time. But then, because of this, all the money, all the possession, all the wealth that they got from Egypt, money become a stumbling block for this family. No more harmonies. Their herdsmen fight. They divided. And at the end, it cost Lot his future. The moment that Abraham prayed for Lot, we always only look at his godly prayer and his love for Lot. Other than that, think about that, why he prays so many times, why he worries so much. Maybe because he is also aware why Lot left him. Possessions. Is it only Lot's possession? No, Abraham's possession as well. Okay? So money, wealth, possession caused them to separate. Is Abraham liable for the situation? Of course. Both of them. Abraham and Lot are equally liable in this situation. So when he realized that Lot was drifting further and further away from God, further and further away from the promised land, closer and closer to Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you think that he worried and regret? So when the Lord said, I'm going to destroy the city that Lot lived in there, so Abraham has to pray because he knew he was liable for that situation. It's not just purely out of love, it's also out of guilt. Why? Because Abraham allowed wealth, possession, livestock to get in the way. And where did you get those from? Egypt. Egypt. How very often you find in the news, even in your surrounding, family, siblings, they end up suing each other, hate each other out of possession. From where? From the world. From Egypt. It's not a blessing. It is not. It is not a blessing when siblings end up suing each other, hating each other over money, over housing. It's a curse. So the money that they brought out of Egypt end up as a curse for their family. Isn't it? Look at it. Are they enjoying the benefit of the possession? No. The first thing that they did is separate. And second thing, what happened? Lot, pursuing for more money, ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, very painful, seeing him, his nephew, drifting away from God. So please do remember, money is good if it's from the right source. Possession is only a blessing if it's given by God. If it's from Egypt, it only serves as a curse and leave you nothing but regret. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Please do keep this in mind. Because in the future, when you are pursuing for your career, your education and your career, a higher promotion, a greater income, a better living, please do remember this, that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing from the Lord, the possession, the wealth, the gold and silver from the Lord adds no worry for your life. But the possession, the lifestyle, the gold and silver from Egypt ends you with remorse and regret in your life. Okay? So please do not purely pursue wealth of the world just for the sake of it. You need to analyze, is it really good for you? There was a brother who came to me and we talked. And he really, really has a great regret in his life. When he graduated, after working for some time, he was given an offer, a very good offer, however, far and away from anywhere with the church. And he figured, hey, I'm young. He figured that, you know what, I am young. I should fight for a greater future. I am ambitious. Now this company is going to help me to reach my goal. So he took the offer. Good benefit, big paycheck, but far away from anywhere. And he spent years developing his career and built his family in this very, very remote area. So his family grew up without church, without church members, without any religious education, and his children never attend any spiritual convocation, anything like that, or student spiritual convocation. Okay, so you know what? They become wealthy. I mean, American dream fulfilled. Big house, of course, in the remote area, house doesn't cost that much. Big house, nice car, good career, very well built family, children, good education, everything, but no God in their life. When the children reach high school, he really wished that they would come for spiritual convocation, SSC, RHTS, and stuff. And his children say very plainly to him, no. Why? Because it was never in their life. He wanted to bring them to church. The children say, no, we don't believe in God. And we don't need God in our life. You know that he lived in such an agony, knowing God is important, knowing there's a salvation, but seeing his children care only about the world. And you know, it was too late. He came with a very, very burdened heart, very sad. He said that he really failed God. He really disappointed God because he raised children who do not know about God and do not care about church. There's no faith. They only care about education, academic achievements, social success, and living in a lavish life. That's the only thing that he's caring, his children care about. And there's no way, that there's nothing he could do to change the situation. Because, you know, they grew up in the Western culture. They are very independent. They don't take what you say. They don't submit to what you say. You say, come to church. They say, no. What can you do about it? So even until now, decades pass. He only lived in remorse. He said, if I knew this would happen, I would never take the offer. I would rather find a simple job but grow my family in the Lord. So that today I don't have to worry about their salvation. Today I don't have to worry about if they will ever know God. And he said, now I can only pray, may God have mercy to give them the chance. So brothers and sisters, wealth, possessions, lifestyle, gold and silver, very often is what we aim for, pursue, especially for young people, ambitious young people. You're like, this is what I want. But please do remember, possession only if it's from the Lord will bring you true happiness. If it's only from Egypt, it will also come along with many regrets in life. Okay? Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. It could be blessing. It could also be a curse. Depends on where the possession comes from. Okay? All right. This is the end of our class. Hopefully that we learn something from the life of Abraham that you can keep in mind in both your family, your career, your faith. And I hope that the only thing that you bring home with you is not about marrying beautiful woman could be very dangerous. Okay? It says more than that, way more than that. Okay? That's all. Bow and pray silence.